Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's 1 John 3:1. I am Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans, your host today. And we are excited to bring to you part one of a two-part story, because we have not just one, but actually three guests today with us. Joining us from Washington State is adoptive mom Vanita Thomas and her two children. Well, they're not really children anymore. Vanita's son Sandeep is 25 and her daughter Ruth is 19. They were both adopted from India. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sandra. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Very good to meet you.
Oh, it's wonderful. Like I said, it's an honor to have you on the show. Your family story is powerful, and we don't want to rush through it in just 30 minutes, so we're going to actually cover your story over two episodes of this show. Today is just part one. Next week, we will air part two, so we don't want our listeners to miss out on that. But let's get right to your story. Vanita, your husband, Peter, you have one biological daughter, Sarah, who is 13, and Sarah actually came along after you adopted Sandeep and Ruth. So let's go back to the beginning. What led you and Peter to adopt?
So my story begins when I was in school in fourth grade. We would be taken to Mother Teresa's orphanage every year by the school. And I just absolutely fell in love with the kids there. And I remember being a little girl and coming home and begging my parents to adopt a child. Now, I know that's not uncommon here in the U.S., but in India, adoption is not an accepted norm. So it was very unusual that I had this desire. But of course, my parents had three kids, and it not being the cultural norm, that didn't really happen. But I think God just started feeding that desire over the years. And one of the first things I did when I met my husband was ask him if we could adopt. Interestingly, he had actually just read J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God. Mm. And in that, he had read about God's adoption of us. So he was very excited and said, hey, we could put this into practice doing it. So that's why I married him. No, wow. Not really.
Good choice. So
that's where our story started. And, you know, from there, it led us. Of course, we had our own plans and ideas of what we were going to do and how we were going to have these bio children, and we were going to go out there and adopt. But God took us on an entirely different journey, as he always does.
Yeah. So at what point did you decide to actually adopt and go to India and get Sandeep?
A few years into our marriage, I had lost a pregnancy. And a little while later, we heard about a little boy in India who had lost his mother in a tragic way. And normally when we hear stories like this, at the most, you know, we would send money, maybe help the family out or the child out, and it would end there. But in that moment, God kind of just spoke to my heart and said, take the child. Mm. And I called my husband at work, and, you know, we started praying. And by the evening, we decided we were going to take the child. And Sandeep would share a little more about why, you know, he was orphaned and what happened. But it is, again, a very unusual thing, because he was rejected. He was unwanted. And we were told we were pretty foolish to step into this.
Wow. Pretty foolish by family, by friends?
Actually, by everybody.
Everybody.
Because adoption is not an accepted norm in India.
Yeah.
As I've mentioned. So, and it goes back to culturally, when India is a culture of success, and if anyone has suffered, and that could be, you know, whether it's loss or, you know, maybe loss of a career or loss of family member or anything, you have sinned in your previous life. And so you're paying off that sin in this life. So no one wants to step in and stop you paying your sins so that the next life can be better.
Mm, wow.
Which is why nobody would adopt an orphan.
And that's still culturally the mindset today, correct?
It's beginning to change with the millennials, but a majority of India still believes in this. And sadly, the Christian community is very caught up in this idea.
Mm. So both Sandeep and Ruth have incredible testimonies to share, but your stories begin in places of loss and darkness. So Sandeep, let's start with you. Tell us the story of how you became an orphan.
Yeah, so like my mom said, I was born in India, and I had my family there, my parents and two older sisters. And I can think back to the life that I had over there. So my parents had menial labor jobs, and we were poor, but we were able to get by with the little money that we did, my family did make. But what we also found out was that my father was spending a lot of the money on alcohol and just getting drunk, and then he would come home and be abusive to me and my sisters. And so the family lifestyle was somewhat chaotic as well. And I used to always follow my father and go with him to wherever he went to hang out with his friends or whenever he wanted to go drinking and partying. And that's where I often spent a lot of my time as a, you know, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. And my mother, seeing this, noticed that, you know, my lifestyle would gear more towards what my father was doing and didn't want me venturing in his direction. So I think just out of desperation, you know, to kind of shock my father into reality, she threatened to take her life. And I can think back to one morning, you know, they used to have constant fights. And one morning it was just an explosive argument that they had. And my father, you know, took me and we started walking away from the house. And then I heard the slam of the door from my house. And in my mind, something just told me that, you know, something's not right. And I begged my father to like turn around just so we can go back and check on my mother. And after a few times, he agreed and we started walking back. And at that moment, when we approached the house, we saw smoke pouring out of the doors and windows. And so we kicked the door open, and only to find my mother burning up in flames on our floor. And so she had put herself on fire and then poured kerosene oil in herself and set herself on fire. Mm. And so just you can imagine the horrific scene, you know, before a 5-year-old's mind. And so we put out the fire quickly. We, you know, we rushed her to the hospital. And, you know, at that time, we didn't even have money to get an ambulance. Actually rode a 3-wheeled auto rickshaw and rushed her to the hospital then. And I think a few days later, she died. So this tragic incident happened, and the scenes stuck in my mind. And I think from that point onwards, life just moved at a very fast pace because my father claimed that he couldn't take care of us kids anymore, my sisters and I, and because he had a terminal illness. And then he left us at his brother's house, so my uncle's house, and we never saw him after that. He just disappeared. And at that point, my sisters were sent to boarding school. And then nobody wanted to take care of me, partly because of the fact that I had just witnessed my mother's death. And as my mom said, you know, the karma factor was there as well. Because I'd witnessed something that bad and horrific, I was cursed with that karma. So as a result, nobody wanted to take care of me. And I was relinquished to the orphanage. And, you know, at that time, I'm thinking back, you know, I was left as this unwanted, broken, hopeless child. And I didn't know God. But in the background of all this, as my mom said, he was working on their hearts, my adopted, soon to be adopted parents. And little did I know that they would be soon stepping into my life and adopting me.
Mm, wow. So you got adopted at this point. Your parents, your adoptive parents were living in New Jersey, I believe. Vanita, you adopted Sandeep, and then really about 6 months later, you adopted Ruth. So why did you decide to adopt again so soon?
Well, again, it wasn't us, it was God. So when we went to bring Sandeep home, it took about 6 months to get his paperwork done. We went in July of 98. And, you know, we don't go to India that often. So we decided, hey, we've adopted one. We've always loved to adopt. Let's just check places out, you know, to see what the process is in India in case we want to do it in the future. And one of the desires I had was never to go into an orphanage and have to choose a child, which was what the process in those days. And so I wanted to go to one hospital where, you know, the moms would come, and if they couldn't care for the babies, they would relinquish the babies there. So there wasn't a steady number of babies. If there was a mom who needed to give up her child, that baby became available for adoption. So we said, let's go just, you know, talk to them and see how it goes. And as we walked in there, we talked to the nuns who ran that place. 5 minutes later, the sister said, hold on. And she walked inside and she came out with this beautiful 4-month-old baby girl. And we just fell in love. And interestingly, her given name was my name with a D in the middle. And that nun came out and said, this is your child. God has ordained her for you. Mm. And the rest is history.
That is incredible. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. Our guests today are adoptive mom Vanita Thomas and her two adult adopted children. Sandeep is 25 and Ruth is 19. We just heard Sandeep's tragic story of becoming an orphan, but then getting adopted. So let's now hear from Ruth. Ruth, would you share with us your story?
Yeah, of course. So as my mom's already said, I was placed in their arms, and that's when I officially became a Thomas. And the magnitude of my story didn't really hit me until later when I found out from some friends, actually, that the lake behind the hospital was actually used to drown baby girls because girls are a burden on society. They are very costly to get them married, to pay for education. And so it is really just a huge gendercide against women in India, that because they are so devalued, they're not even worth having. So my life being saved was really only God's grace. There are almost 50 million girl babies unaccounted for, whose lives can only be missing due to the fact that it was through gendercide. So it is completely God's grace, but I didn't realize this until my story had come full circle and I realized what God had saved me from.
Wow. So that is incredible. The Lord just spared you from that. He has a purpose for your life, we know. And talking about orphans in India, Vanita, I believe you had shared with me that there are 17 million orphans in India.
Yes, that's what the numbers say.
Wow. And your story about bringing home these two when culturally Indian couples do not adopt. So let's talk about, in part two, we're going to actually get into more of what life was like after bringing Sandeep and Ruth home. Vanita will share very transparently the difficulties that almost led to disrupting the adoption of Sandeep, because there were very dark days and you were in the trenches wondering where God was in all of this. We're going to get into that in part two. But for part one today, let's share. I want to read a scripture verse here that you had also shared with me, and that is Acts 17, 26 through 28. And I'll read it. It's from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not very far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So I'll give all three of you an opportunity to kind of share what that scripture means to you. We are children of God. So what are your thoughts when you hear that scripture?
So let me start. I think, as I've explained, it was we really stepped out in faith because it was against the cultural norm to adopt. And as you mentioned, we will be talking more about the struggles. And often in this journey, you know, because Sandeep was six when he came home and he had faced so much of tragedy, he was very broken, very angry. And it was very confusing because we did not see God's hand. There were many times where the journey was so lonely and isolating, and we had no clue how to help him. And this verse means a lot to us as a family, simply because that is a promise that God had each of us exactly where he wanted us to be. And I think that brought a lot of encouragement and hope in the dark times.
What about
this
you?
This verse also, yes. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just introduce, Ruth, go ahead. You share how you feel about those scriptures.
So for me, it hits me on more of a personal level. I have, I did go back to try and find my first family and get some information. But I was told by the nun working there that I would not be able to receive any information due to the fact that it was a closed adoption, and the birth mother had specifically requested no contact when she gave up and relinquished her rights. So for me, there was no way of knowing my past. So this verse actually became something that I had to cling to and realize that God had me here for a reason, that I was not just an accident placed into this family, that he had timed everything so perfectly according to his will, that I was here for a reason to glorify him, that my story was to be shared to honor him. And this verse actually was given to me by my dad, which was even more of a blessing for me to realize that that I was not an accident and that I was chosen.
Yeah, and I'd say similar to what Ruth just said. I think the important thing that sticks out to me in this verse is that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. And that's the most critical part of this verse. And it's, you know, when we look back on our story and we realize the amount of pain and the struggle and the trauma that adopted kids have gone through, that me and Ruth and I have gone through, and we often are angry and are upset and question. We also know at that same time that there is a God who is in control. And maybe instead of being angry, we need to be seeking after God and asking him, what is his purpose in all of this? And why did he allow some of these things to happen? So like Ruth said, really became an anchor verse for us to not complain about where we are, but rather to seek after what God has allowed, what God allowed for these things to happen.
And I just thinking about Ruth, thinking about your story and the fact that you were spared from what was inevitable for so many of those other baby girls to be drowned in that lake behind the hospital, but yet you were spared. And
yeah, that really was amazing to find out. And it really puts things in perspective to know that there are so many other girls who didn't get that chance.
Yeah. And
could I add, yeah, Sandra, that I think knowing the fact that, you know, the verse couldn't say that, so that we may turn to him. And if we look at, you know, both of them came from non-Christian homes. And there are very few Christians in India. I think it's less than 2% officially. And to think that they've had the privilege of coming here, not just to have a good life in this life, but they have eternal hope today,
yeah,
because God has adopted them into his family. And it's mind-boggling to think of 1.3 billion people, and God chose each of them to be pulled out of that for them to know him.
Yeah, that is remarkable.
Yeah. You can see the hand of God in both stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So, before we wrap up here today, Vinita, I'm going to ask you a question, and in our part two, in the next interview, I'll ask the same question to both Sandeep and Ruth. But to wrap up here today, Vinita, what is on your heart as we talk about the number of orphans in India and the small percentage, the less than 2% of Christians in India, but even the Indian Christians here in the United States who they're not adopting, they it's still not culturally acceptable. The mindset, it is changing. You indicated that, especially with the millennials, but with all of this, and then seeing the redemption, the redemptive power of God in Sandeep and Vinita's in Ruth's life. Vinita, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
So I think my plea to ethnic churches, and this is in India, but I think it's in many other parts of the world too, is to really to soak in the preciousness of our own salvation. Our salvation is really God's adoption of us.
Yes.
When this is understood, you know, the pastors can actually encourage members to heed God's call to step out to imitate Him and to adopt children who need. Our salvation is a beautiful picture of adoption, and God is just asking us to step in and to do exactly what He did. And again, some of us are called to foster and adopt, but others are called by God to step and encourage foster adoptive families or orphan kids in different ways. And this is true of everyone. But, you know, today I just want to address particularly your audience of for those who have race-on-race adoptions. And by that I mean it's families like ours who have adopted Indian families adopting Indian kids. The struggle is huge, especially when we move away from our country and we live in places like the U.S. We are the minority. And as Christians, we're an even smaller minority. And then I count in our 19-year journey on my fingers the number of Christian families we know who've adopted here. So it is a very lonely journey. And often families are judged. Families are, struggle because of that. They're isolated. They're condemned for their parenting. And as we know, trauma does have an impact on the kids. The parents are probably working far harder than in most normal cases. And they're trying to do what God has called them to do. So I would really encourage churches and Christians all around, family and friends, to just step in and to encourage and to support and to pray for the families who have adopted. Pray for the children. Walk with them. Mentor them. Don't isolate them. And it can make a huge world of difference to that one particular child, to that one family. And, you know, God will be using you in a powerful way, even if you're not directly in the forefront of adoption or foster care.
Yeah, and you also shared, this was a 19-year journey once you brought Sandeep and Ruth home. In part two, we're going to talk about more of the struggles during that time as the kids adjusted to being adopted and adjusted to their new family and being here in the States. But not only did you not get support from those around you, but Vinita, you had shared with me that you actually were told by peers, by other Indian Christians even, that you were foolish for doing this and you were making a big mistake. So you were kind of condemned for having done it.
Yes. And I think, unfortunately, the church in India or in the Christian community has not caught on the vision. I volunteer with CAFO, and I have contacted networks around the world. And I see the value of, you know, churches and pastors understanding their own salvation and being excited about that in caring for children in their community and having that burden to pass that on to their congregation. But we do not see that in India yet. And my plea is for families to step out and to ask for help, to educate, you know, their pastors, their community, if that's not already happening. Because it is worth it to struggle alone. For us, I think 30% of the struggle was caring for the kids. 70% of the burden all those years was where we had that condemnation. We had to explain ourselves, and it was lonely. Mm. So there are places to go. Today, there is a lot of resources. pastors can be can educate themselves with resources online. There are conferences like CAFO and Refresh where we can get help. But most of all, I would encourage the families who have adopted to step out and have a prayer team around them. I think prayer made the biggest difference for us. And just to build that support, because God has called us to community. No one should have to do this alone. Mm. And this adoption is a beautiful thing. So let's step out as a church community, stepping into the life of orphans around the world and being God's hands and feet to them.
Well, Vinita, Sandeep, and Ruth, thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you, Kendra.
Thank you.
Now, be sure to catch part two of the Thomas family story next week. We will hear from all three of them again next time as Vinita, Sandeep, and Ruth share about the struggles of being a family with two children who'd experienced so much trauma and walking through those dark days with no support. But then God intervened. So don't miss part two next week. If you enjoyed today's show, you can find more episodes of Orphans No More on our website at justicefororphansny.org. JFO's mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless by inspiring, educating, and equipping the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.